This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap. It is Wednesday. It is the 3rd of April, 2024. Coming up today, more obstacle avoidance technology, Apple AI, and VoiceStream Reader comments.
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
Bow bow. All right, Sean Preece, how are you doing?
Oh, I am gorgeous. Thank you, Stephen Scott. I've made a decision in my life.
Oh, hang on.
Breaking news.
Turn it up a bit. I mean, it's exciting. I am going to delete Facebook off my phone.
Oh, well done. Well done.
There, I've said it.
Hang on. This deserves full applause.
Okay, I'll wait.
Yep.
Thank you.
Because I can't feel it. Yeah. Why are you deleting Facebook, Sean Preece?
It's just taking up so much of my time. I am addicted to it. I will admit it. My name is Sean Preece, and I am a Facebook watch addict.
Yeah.
I can't stop watching. It takes up so much of my time, and I don't mean it to. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, and I can't go back to sleep straight away. I'll just have a quick look on there. And it's rubbish. What am I watching?
It's absolute garbage.
And before I know it, it's 2 hours later or 3 hours later. That's it. I've had enough. I need to get that time back. So I am deleting Facebook today. There you go.
Well, listen, you may have had your epiphany.
Yes.
I had a similar epiphany last night. It's funny, this is strange how you've had your epiphany about Facebook and I had a similar epiphany. And it was all because of a video, funnily enough, I saw on Facebook Watch. And
it's great, isn't it?
It's so good. Great idea. And it was this idea called the 5am Club. It's a book, apparently, called the 5am Club. And the whole thing is about, you know, it's one of those, you know, one of those self-help books. Boo! I know.
Helping yourself. I'm beginning it.
I love when you go into a bookstore. I used to do this years ago for a laugh. Say, where is the self-help section? And, of course, you'd always get the usual answer. Find it yourself. But
only in Scotland.
Only in Scotland that joke works.
Customer service.
Yeah, exactly. But, so the 5am Club, apparently, the whole thing is that you get up and at 5am, instead of lying on your phone or putting on the TV or sticking on the radio or listening to this show or whatever it is you do at 5am if you're up, you know, actually get up and follow the 20-20-20 rule. This is the rule, okay. Right? So here's the thing. I can't believe we're talking like this. But yeah, so what you do is 20 minutes of exercise, 20 minutes of learning, and 20 minutes of meditation.
Ooh.
Now, meditation. Also then, yeah. So it goes on to say later in the sort of article I read about the book, because I wasn't going to read the actual book.
I've got time.
Yeah. I said, look, you know, it says you can kind of mash this up. So you could do like 30 minutes of exercise, 30 minutes of learning. But the thing was, it picks up on something that I didn't know of. And that was that there's a service called Blinkist, an app called Blinkist. Now, I've heard of it.
Oh, I've heard of it. Yes, me too.
Didn't know what it was. Didn't have a clue. And apparently it takes a number of books and it crams them down into 20 minutes of audio. Audio and text. You can read it or you can listen to it. And I thought, that's ingenious.
It is.
I can get a book. I can read a book in 20 minutes. Yes. I love it. I'm in.
Kind of, yes.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. This is basically how I passed my higher English. I just got someone to tell me about the book for 20 minutes. So, you know, it's the same thing,
right? You got the book notes, yes.
I just got someone who'd read the book, and I said, well, what happens in it? Oh, really? That's interesting. What happens to him? What happened to her? All right. And then I went off and passed my exam with it. So that was how I got through my education, by cheating,
nothing wrong with
essentially.
That.
But no, this sounds pretty cool. So, yeah, so Blinkist, you get the book. So that kind of intrigued me, actually, because I thought, you know what, if you're going on the treadmill, and you and I have talked about this before, right, you've got the treadmill at home, which, you know,
yes.
You never go near. I have the treadmill at home that I never go near. And I thought, yes. You know, maybe if we actually got on the treadmill but had something to listen to, you know, we could educate ourselves. I mean, the meditation, yeah, you can shove that. But the rest of it, you know, that sounds quite cool, actually. And I'm also thinking, you know, wouldn't that be a good time to think about, you know, continuing our Braille learning? You know, first thing in the morning, do like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, because there's so many theories around this. You know, if you do a little bit of learning every day, it amounts up to, you know, huge amounts of learning over time. Essentially, you're building the skill over a short, you know, short amounts of time each day, which is not a bad idea.
I will say, I haven't touched the orbit in 6 days or so now. I'm starting to think, let's not let this slip. But then again, I need something to do on it. You know, I've gone over the typing the alphabet 1,000 times and going through my home screen and reading, oh yeah, that's right, I can read that. I've passed that. Now I need something actually to do with it.
So, you've got the writer, you've got the orbit reader though, haven't you? You've got
reader, the reader, yes.
So
that's right.
You could connect it to your computer. I know it's a little bit
unnerving. I have connected it. No, yeah, I've connected it. I just haven't really used it with the computer, but it was really easy to do.
Because you can really, you could, what I like about the Braille display on the computer, I mean, I did it on the Mac, I haven't done it on the PC. And for people who know their stuff on this, and maybe you can advise, obviously there's JAWS, there's NVDA, there's Narrator, so there may be different ways to do this. But I was often thinking, you know, if you can trim back a lot of what's on that display, because there's a lot of really confusing stuff appears when you connect it. And if you don't know your way around using a Braille display with a computer, which I don't yet, not really, a lot of that status stuff that comes up on the screen, you're like, what on earth is all that about? So you think, if I could get rid of all that and just, you know, just have what's essentially read off the screen, and that's what I now have with the Mac when the Mantis is connected, all I'm getting is the text. So if I'm looking at a headline of an article, that's all that's on the display. And I like that.
That makes
sense.
That
suits me, you know, because I don't need all this extra information. I may get to that point, but right now I just want to understand what I'm reading. You know, I just want that audible response. That, you know, what I'm getting in audio, I want that in
Braille.
In Braille.
Yeah.
So I can tell my speaking off.
It's funny how we are all having this, you know what, I'm going to maximize my use of my time and everything's going to be... It's because the weather's changed a little bit.
The
clocks have changed here in the UK this weekend. And, you know, it's a bit lighter. The birds are singing at 4 a.m. now. You're thinking, oh, this is great. Yeah, okay, let's see how motivated we are when it's raining and snowing and freezing and pitch black and terrible.
I can tell you, so my wife, I'm telling last night, you know, all this, you know, the 5 a.m. club, I'm going to be up to the treadmill for 20 minutes. I'm going to...
Oh, you never told... Don't never tell your partner your plans.
Oh, no, I told her.
In case
I told
you don't
her.
Follow them through.
And listen, she knows me well. And she knew when she said to me this morning at 6:30, as I was lying in bed, how's the 5 a.m. club going? I said, well, it starts on Monday. So
we'll everything starts tomorrow. Yes.
Hey, listen, lots to talk about today. In particular, I want to mention Club Unmute and the wonderful team over there at Club Unmute, Michael Babcock and Marty Sobo and Damasi Thomas and all the people who put these amazing shows together that they do. But they also have Club Unmute, which is a paid-for service, really, that you can subscribe to, and you can get access to lots of extra content, in particular courses. They've just finished one on Reaper, which was brilliant.
Yes.
And it was a four-week course. They're doing another four-week course that starts today. It starts at 4 p.m. Eastern, but if you sign up, you can get access to all of this on demand. The reason they're doing it live is because people can join and you can obviously ask questions as you go along. So you can be part of it live at 4 p.m. Eastern today and every Wednesday for the next 4 weeks. Or you can listen on demand. Either way, you can sign up to that. It's unmute.show. That's the website address. And you can find the Join Club Unmute link there. So unmute.show is where you go. I mention it because those guys are great and they've been good with us. They've been, everyone over there has been so supportive of what we're doing and have been helpful to us. So I'm not always keen on promoting paid for things like that, but you know what, on this occasion it is worth it. It genuinely is worth it. I think these guys are doing a great job and I love what they're doing with this. I may also join this little JAWS course because it's been a while since I've really dug in. Everything I've learned on JAWS I've kind of learned as I've gone along. So
yeah,
I kind of like the idea of doing this. You know, it's an hour a week. It's not a lot. It's only 4 weeks. So, you know, I could probably learn a lot more and fill in the gaps on my JAWS knowledge for sure. So check it all out at unmute.show. The course for JAWS starts today, 4 p.m. Eastern. But you can, as I say, get it on demand as well. So well done to the guys on that one.
Excellent.
Also, coming up, we're going to be talking to tomorrow, I think, on the show. We're going to be joined by Janine Stanley from IRA. They are doing a special event for the solar eclipse we were talking about. they're going to be actually hosting a live audio described event. So people who want to know what's going on and get that description of the event as it happens live.
What's going on?
Why has it got dark?
The sun's disappeared.
Oh, it's back. It's fine. That, there you go. That's your description. That's basically a solar eclipse.
Yeah. We're not doing the audio description.
No, no, we could.
Pleased to hear.
Actually, we should maybe do that. Shouldn't we? Could get, you know, I think you'd be up for that.
We're all doomed.
Oh, no,
it's all going to be fine.
So, yeah, we're going to be talking to Janine Stanley tomorrow about that. But for now, though, we're going to join another member of the AMI team, a good friend of ours, and that is Red Sale. He's the host of My Life in Books, because he has a question for you guys.
Hi, it's Red Sale from My Life in Books, and I've got a question for any keen guitarists out there, specifically those who play the bass guitar. I recently took up the bass and I'm really enjoying it, but I find that quite often my guitar is slightly out of tune. I've tried a few apps, but all of them seem to have a visual aspect, which is no good because I can't see. So if anybody knows of a really good app that I can download, preferably free, onto my iPhone that will give me tones to let me know whether I'm sharp, flat, or in tune, it would be hugely appreciated, not just by me, but also by my poor wife, who either has to come down and tune my bass for me, or listen to me endlessly practicing Day Tripper slightly out of tune. And if the app also has a metronome that is accessible, that would be even better. Thanks very much for any help or advice. And don't forget to tune in to My Life in Books. A new episode drops every other Monday, and the whole back catalogue is available from your favourite podcast provider.
Oh, sorry, I tripped over that plug there. Thank you, Red. Red Sale with the
Oh, well done, Red.
Question.
You always get a plug in.
Quite right, too. Quite right, too. Brilliant show, by the way, My Life in Books. It's a super show. So go check that out. If you love your audiobooks and you want to know more about the authors behind them, then that is the show to go and listen to. So, yeah, that one over to you guys. Sean, I know you play guitar, so anything you use to tune?
Well, as a professional musician, Stephen Scott.
Sorry, I choked a little
sorry.
Bit there.
I have used in the past something called Talking Tuner. And it does exactly what it says on the tin. Now, I have had a few issues with it not quite picking up the note when I play it. It just, you know, I'm moving the phone closer and things like that. But it's the best one I've found so far, but I haven't been looking for a good few years now. But that was the one I used to use, Talking Tuner.
Okay, well, we'll hand it over to you guys if you know better or there's a newer one. And Red does use an iPhone, so important to make that clear. We're talking here about iPhone. But if you are an Android user and you do have a recommendation for other people, then throw that in. That would be really cool to know about. Coming up a bit later, because a lot on the show today, we've actually got a lot of stuff today to talk about. We're joined
stuff.
By the wonderful Alison Sheridan. You might remember Alison was on with us recently. She hosts the Nozilla podcast, which is Alison Backwards, which I think is actually kind of genius. And she was at CSUN this year and she spoke to some interesting companies. Now, we had Gary in touch recently asking about, you know, and contributing, I guess, towards this conversation around the types of technology that we've been talking about, the replacement for the guide dog, the replacement for the cane, the stories we always hear. But he was saying, what I really want is something that allows me to detect obstacles at chest height or head height. So today we're going to hear about one such product that Alison literally gets hands-on with, or arms in with, perhaps, is maybe a better way to put it. We'll get to that a little bit later. It's a lot of fun. Alison joining us a bit later with that audio from CSUN from last month. But I want to kick off, really, because, of course, we're going to talk about the Voice Stream Reader, and we've got lots of your comments on that as well. We'll get to that, but I really want to start with this. Because this I think could be big.
Breaking news.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one. So Apple claims its on-device system will substantially outperform GPT-4. Okay. Now, this is following a new research paper that's come out. This is a feature of Apple. I'm still not entirely sure if this is a language model in itself or whether or not this is a research that will be applied to existing language models for Apple. But this is called Realm, R in capital, EA in lowercase, LM in capital. RIA LM, Realm, essentially. That is what we're talking about here. Now, what does that mean? Well, this is all about recognition. So it says, you know, for example, Siri could remember your conversation history, could understand what's going on your phone screen, and be aware of surrounding activities, such as recognizing the music playing in the background. So, look, we all know Apple are working on something that is going to come out, and I think WWDC this year is going to be so cool. I can't wait. At least I hope it is. But, of course, the main thing is, for us, enhancing Siri, right? And that is one of Apple's main priorities, surely. We've been talking about this on YouTube as well and talking about it here. You know, really, it has to be the year when Siri gets the big upgrade, or ideally kicked out, replaced.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Let's just replace,
torch it and start again. And I think that's what's going to happen here. Let's be honest. I think we're talking here about a vehicle that's getting a new engine, essentially. But this new research paper that has been published from Apple AI researchers may shed new light on what the plans are, maybe even in time for WWDC. So it introduces this reference resolution as language modeling, that's what Realm stands for, a conversational AI system with a novel approach to improving reference resolution. The hope is that Realm could improve Siri's ability to understand context in a conversation, process on-screen content, and detect background activities. Now, of course, this is very hard to dissect at this point because it's a research paper and language is vague. As you can imagine, it probably will be. They're not going to give you all the knowledge or the information as yet. But what people are picking up, and I'm reading this last night, a lot of journalists are picking up on this, in particular around context and conversation and processing on-screen content. Imagine, for example, and one example given was, you're looking at an article on a website, maybe it's a news article, and there's an actor who's on screen as an image, and you're wondering who that actor is. Maybe there's not a caption on there. And so you're looking at it, and I'm talking here from a visual point of view, so you're looking at the picture. You can ask Siri, who is that? And it will know you're looking at that image, and it will therefore give you the answer to that question. It will tell you who that is. Now, that is very interesting, because in our world, we've had something like this for a little while. Something like this. And I'm thinking about, I'm thinking screen recognition. Not the ability to ask, but the ability to swipe to something and have it read, have it analyzed, and then verbalized back to us. And I wonder if screen recognition is part of this, or whether this is something brand new that may actually take over what screen recognition could do. Maybe that was the beginning of the learning, because I think we all realize that every single thing that is in an iPhone, every single thing that's in a Google phone, all of these features, I mean, even with Microsoft and Soundscape, the idea may seem obvious because you see the application it's being used for, but what's really going on behind the scenes is research is going into that for other purposes, to train new models or whatever it might be. And I think there might be a little bit of that going on. But the bottom line here is that it is able to see what's on the screen, and you're able to communicate, and it has context. It knows what you're looking at, it knows what you're talking about, and it can respond to you verbally. I think that sounds very, very interesting.
Okay, there's a lot of jargon in that, as you would expect from a research paper, right? There's a lot of buzzwords thrown around there. But isn't that just a description of AI anyway? I mean, what's new to this? I'm not saying what's new to specifically, let's say, the iPhone, but what's new when we're talking about AI? If I go to Copilot right now, if I'm browsing in Edge or Chrome or Firefox or wherever it may be, and I hit Windows C, I can type, summarize this web page for me. And it will do exactly that, because it's context aware. It knows what I'm looking at, and it will, you know, it will give me a summary of the actual page I'm on right now. And I can do that through a voice conversation if I go to the microphone button. So, look, we got the being able to have a natural conversation with the language model. That's part of AI. That's what I'm excited about. Then you've got the context aware. You've got the being able to remember previous conversations through the token scheme. Again, that's absolutely a core of AI. So I don't think there's anything particularly new here. I'm just incredibly excited that we're going to be able to access this on our iPhones or Apple devices.
Well, I guess what I'm thinking about is, you know, can this get to system level? Can this apply across the system?
Oh, of course.
I mean, I think about Type Ahead, right? And the work that that Jeff Hara has been doing with Type Ahead. And it seems to me, and I always hate to think this, but, you know, I think about Jeff and all the work he's done, and I kind of wish Apple had just paid him money, you know, to bring him on board, because I fear that this kind of announcement is kind of going to take over a lot of that work, potentially. Or alternatively, it opens up the doors for someone like Jeff to be able to access more of the system. So when we were talking to Jeff about Type Ahead, and if you didn't catch the interview, it was the essentially what I would call a voice screen reader assistant. You know, it works alongside the screen reader, and you could type to it, for example, click a button or, you know, add this item to basket, and it would go off and it would do that. Because like you say, that's how AI can do it. It's context aware to some degree. And I think that the difference with what I'm hearing here with this news, and it's very early days, of course, we don't know anything yet, really, but it sounds to me as if that contextual ability is going to be more focused, more clever in some ways, because it will be able to maybe respond quicker. I mean, it says in this article, and this is really the headline, is that it's faster than GPT-4, that it's more capable than GPT-4, and maybe more accurate than GPT-4. So that's where things could get interesting, because we've moved away from the wow factor about what AI can do, and now it's about the quality of AI. I think that's what we're moving on to.
That's a really good point, actually.
You know, we've kind of moved on to that level of, okay, do you know what? This is all good stuff, but we're seeing a lot of issues with ChatGPT-4, a lot of hallucinations. I'm hearing a lot of people talk about Claude 3 as a large language model, another one which I hadn't really heard of until recently, that is another large language model, another alternative, I guess you could say, to all these different AI models that are kicking around. You know, you've got Gemini from Google, you've got, you know, OpenAI with ChatGPT, that's their product, and you've got Claude 3, and these are all very different in their capabilities. And I think that's the race at the moment, is the race is now for accuracy.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. The amount of AI companies out there now, it's just exploding, as you would expect it. And I'm kind of surprised myself, because I've got, I think, all of them, or I've tried most of them. And you think, once you've tried one, what's the difference, right? They're all basically doing the same thing, but there is a difference. My preference is Pi. I think it works so well. It's really responsive. I use Copilot on Windows every now and then, and I notice it's very, very slow to respond. I really have to, you know, wait and have a cup of tea while it's responding. Mm. But there is a difference, and you're absolutely right. The actual... Oh, I'm amazed by how I can have a conversation with it and it understands the context of my questions. That's sort of past now. Whatever. And now we're on to how quickly it can respond and how accurate it responds as well. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens, but it's very interesting. Of course, we don't know anything until June. June 10th is the date for Apple's WWDC. Now, just so you guys are aware, I am going to be on holiday. So the show will be... Yeah, I know, it's shocking. Is there a need for this?
Breaking news.
Taking a holiday for the first time, what feels like forever. So the show is going to be on a little bit of a break through May. However, I can promise you and absolutely guarantee you there will be new episodes of the show. We will be looking back a little bit at some of our... Yeah, I know.
Yes.
It's not repeating. Yes. We are looking back, giving you another chance to hear some wonderful conversations we've had on the show. So check that out with some new content as well. So we'll get all that in there. We won't be able to break any news. We won't be able to give you a response to any emails or read your emails during the month of May, or at least most of it. So we're going to have a pretty full inbox, I imagine, by the end of May.
I just think it's a little bit irresponsible of you, Stephen.
Well,
Scott,
I agree.
To be honest,
yeah,
taking a holiday.
Imagine wanting to look after your own mental health and go on holiday. It's an absolute disgrace.
That was a slap down. That put me in my place. Wow. Fair enough. Enjoy your holiday.
Yeah, thanks. No, I am looking forward to it. But yeah, so the show's going to be off from the second week of May. We will, as I say, they'll have episodes publishing to the podcast and on AMI Audio. You'll be able to listen every day to episodes of the show. But in terms of feedback and all of that, we won't have any available to you until we're back. Yeah, we're not here. Which means you get a break. What are you going to do for the month of May?
Probably just sit in my shed. Just wait for your return, Stephen Scott.
Just wait for me to call.
Yeah, don't worry about my mental health. Yes, that's definitely going to happen.
Listen, coming up, we're going to talk about that Strap Tech product that Alison Sheridan got her hands on with and hands into. We'll get onto that next. And also your comments on Voice Dream Reader. The controversy continues. Your thoughts after this.
Follow Double Tap on social media at Double Tap On Air and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and email us feedback@doubletaponair.com. We'll be right back. Call the Double Tappers now, 1-877-803-4567, or email us, feedback@doubletaponair.com.
Okay, so like one of those choose-your-own-adventure books, Sean, what do you want to do first? Do you want to hear from Alison talking about the Straptech Ava device, or do you want to hear about Voice Stream Reader comments? You decide.
Well, I know there have been a lot of response on Voice Stream Reader, so let's kick off with Alison. I want to hear about this new device.
Oh, that's cruel. Oh, that's cruel. Okay, let's do that then. So, yeah, this was Alison Sheridan, of course. She is the host of the Nozilla podcast, and she very kindly sent us this audio that she recorded at CSUN while she was there for her own show. This is her talking about the Straptech Era device. Very interesting. Let's listen.
Well, my new friend Javier De Leon from Straptech has strapped something to my chest here that I'm going to be testing out, I guess. Tell us about Straptech.
So Straptech, it's a startup in which we created a wearable device for the blind and visually impaired, which is a chest harness that has an array of sensors up front that can detect in real time upcoming obstacles. Through haptic feedback, we can tell you what type of obstacle is in front of you, and also we can tell you the position. If it's at the height of your head, it can be from your shoulders to your waist, and from your waist to your feet. So you stay protected all around your body.
So you would still use a cane, but this would be in addition to that, I would imagine?
You can use it as a standalone device, but if you prefer, we have a feature which is a smart cane mode in which you can use a wide cane or maybe you can use a guide dog, whichever you prefer. So we adapt to different lifestyles and not the other way around.
Okay. All right. So this thing I'm wearing is a, what is that, about 4 inches across and maybe 3 inches thick. And he's got it strapped to my chest, and I noticed the straps have something in them.
Yeah, we have haptic actuators which vibrate in the straps and also in the back of the device. The best way to describe the shape and size is like a hamburger bun.
Yeah.
It's pretty rounded. It's kind of soft to the touch despite it being plastic, but we want it to feel like a little bit more organic, right?
Yeah. So it's not light, but it's well balanced with the four straps.
Yeah.
So I've got straps over my shoulders and around my waist. And you said these come in different sizes for kids or adults, small, medium, and large adults?
Yeah. We have kids that have used the device that are like 7 years old. And we have also people that are 65 years old. We had
As old as me? That's crazy.
As young as you.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't have like a barrier on age because since it's haptic feedback, it's pretty self-explanatory, right? When somebody touches your shoulder, you're not thinking about turning around, you just turn around. So what we're trying to do is to develop that sense a little bit more to be really explanatory what's in front of you.
Okay, are you going to turn this thing on me?
Sure, I'm going to turn it on really fast.
He's pressing a button on the top. Oh. I just got tickled underneath my armpits here.
Yeah, there you
woo!
Go.
So woo! Now the top ones are going.
Right now, since the microphone is in front of you, it's detecting the microphone.
Oh.
So if you put your arms to the side.
Okay, you're going to, how about if you hold the mic?
For sure. So you shouldn't feel anything right there. Are you feeling something?
Still feeling it down in my armpits here.
Oh, I'm going to readjust it a little bit. Are you feeling something?
Nothing.
It's because there's nothing in front of you. It's because there's nothing in front of you. But as soon as I step in front of you, you should feel vibrations.
Yeah, I'm feeling them at the top and down below.
Yeah, so since we're covering your whole body, you're feeling all around your body. But as soon as you turn around, you shouldn't feel anything. So that's how it works. Vibrations means there's something around in front of you. What you should do is evade the obstacle by turning around until you feel nothing.
Right, right. So is there a pattern going on here that should be recognized?
So for example, right now, right around here, you should feel something at the shoulders or the top part of your chest, which means there's an obstacle in the top part.
So Javi's got his arm up above, like at about eye level, and that's when I felt it at the top.
Yeah. So that means you can duck and go through there. Yeah, you can just limbo it. Yeah. And also, for example, if you feel it at the ribs, it means that it's something below you, from your waist and to your feet. And if you feel it all around your body, it means that it can be a person, it can be a pole, it can be a wall.
It's very very intuitive that way. I can see that. So what kind of sensors are built into this?
We're using LiDAR and ultrasonic sensors to create redundancy and also to use the benefits of it, right? So LiDAR can be really good in where the light is pretty controlled, and ultrasonic can be really good in open spaces. So we fuse those technologies together and we create these algorithms that work in conjunction to make a higher resolution and more redundant system.
So I'm turning it off right now, I think.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting tickled the whole time he's talking. Every time he moves his arm, it's tickling me. But it made me think about battery life. How long does the battery last?
A whole day. We have also a smart feature that is smart on off. It's not turned on right now, so it's really easy to use it with different users. But what it happens is that every time you stand in the same place for a while, it turns off. And as soon as you start walking again, it turns on again.
Oh, that's genius. That's really good.
Also, we have an algorithm. If you sit down, it works the same way. It turns off. As soon as you stand up, it...
That way you don't have to turn it on, off, keep forgetting to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a prototype right now, did you say?
No. We are already out in 17 countries. We have users all around the world, and we're currently selling it on our website.
Okay, and the website is?
Strap.tech.
Strap.tech, and how much money is it?
It's $1,700. We have financial options too, so you can pay in 6 months, 12 months, and I think up to 36 months.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Avi. I wish you the best of luck with this.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
More interesting tech on show from CSUN. Alison Sheridan, their host of the Nozilla podcast. Alison backwards, still love that. And you can check out that podcast wherever you get your podcasts. But you can find everything that Alison does at podfeet.com. I love the names that she comes up with for these shows. So
she's
memorable.
She's so good. So good.
She's amazing.
As well.
She's
podcasts
amazing.
Are amazing. Definitely check it out. Again,
okay.
It's really no. Look, I love the tech, right? It's really difficult for me to get excited by this technology recently because we're seeing almost a slew of this sort of technology. But
it's like AI.
But yeah, no, exactly right, exactly right. But it's not until you actually get hands on with it that you can say, okay, this is practical. Because you know we've had sonar sunglasses for the longest time. Now I know using sonar and LiDAR here, so redundancy and more high resolution accuracy, so great. But does this actually work in practical terms? Honestly, I don't know.
Until you try it, you don't know. I mean, it's like anything, and you know something might work for someone else and doesn't work for you. I mean, I've heard so many good things about the mini guide over the years, and you know, I really want to get hands on with that. And I feel that's actually a cheaper entry point than a lot of these other devices. But then I think, okay, I suppose there's two things for me. One is function, and one is what it looks like. You know, do I look like I've suddenly joined the army and I'm marching down the street because I've got this thing around my neck that makes me look like...
we've always got burger buns resting on us somewhere, so
yes,
that's fine.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, that fits in quite well. As long as it doesn't get away with the actual burger buns, that's the thing.
That's true.
No, it's an interesting piece of kit. I'm so glad that we hear about it, though. That's the whole point, right? We want to hear about these things. Doesn't mean we have to agree or love it or, you know, fall in love with it. It's not about that. It's about knowing what's out there.
Hey, I'm not coming down either side. I'm not saying this is a terrible idea. I'm not saying this is a great idea. Yeah. I am saying, yes, until someone tries this, because we hear about this technology quite often now. And it always seems to me that the key thing here is trying to get the feedback to us. Haptic, in this case, you know, lower and higher on your shoulder. Mm. Or is it audio? Is that the best way? And honestly, I don't know. I would love to try this out, though.
Okay, let's move on. And talk about Voice Dream Reader. It's been a hot topic in our community. Everyone seems to have a view on it. And you've been getting in touch with yours here on Double Tap. So Gary kicks off our comments following my view that it's not on the company, the new company, to take on old promises. So here's what Gary had to say to that.
Hey, Stephen and Sean. Of course, the folks who purchase Voice Dream Reader are on the hook for the lifetime subscriptions. If I buy your business, I take on its assets along with its liabilities. My lifetime subscription for Voice Dream Reader was definitely a contract where I paid and they promised. It became an asset for me and a liability for them. Here is the catch. The value of my asset, the lifetime subscription, was set at what I paid. That is the liability the new buyer took on. I forget how much it was, but let's say it was $100. The new company should be on the hook for $100 less whatever portion of the subscription I have already used. Perhaps on average, lifetime subscribers have used half of the subscription's value. They should either refund that portion of what I paid, or maybe they could just give me a free year under their new plan. Ideally, I would have my choice. I think you are arguing that they should be allowed to just appropriate the portion of my asset that I have not used yet. As a Scotsman, I am shocked that you would play so loosely with anyone's money, especially mine. When all is said and done, I suspect the new buyer will get away with stealing my asset. For me, I will delete the app and go with one of the alternatives. Happy April, Gary Crow.
Well, and again, I go back to this point, Gary. You know, you don't have to buy it. That's the point. There are other options out there. Now, if you feel you would benefit from having that app, then pay up. I think it's as simple as that. I get your point. But
he's already paid.
He's paid, but this was under an old promise. This is not a new company's promise.
Well, Gary's coming at us here, which sounds like contract law and business here. I mean, assets and liabilities. I don't know the legal aspect of this. I don't know. But, I mean, you came up with a good point of they could quite easily just close it down and rebrand and bring out another app, right?
Which I think they should have done, actually. I think they should have brought it out as something new, rebranded it, and said, look, it's a new product, it's a new company, it will offer these functions. That would have been a cleaner way, I think. It would have been cleaner for... I mean, people would still have been annoyed, I no doubt at all. But I think it would have been a cleaner way to do it. I think they needed to break the tie from the previous, especially if there was this promise, which would probably irritate that new company. I would imagine that existed. Michael Fear got in touch on this.
Hi, guys. Thought I'd weigh in on this Voice Dream Reader controversy. I bought this app thinking it was for life, but I'm nonetheless quite happy to pay a subscription. I'm fed up with excellent quality apps being pulled from the App Store because there's no way for developers to make ongoing development and maintenance sustainable. I pay enough subscriptions to have sympathy for consumers who feel angry and betrayed by yet another app moving to a subscription model. We really have to pick our battles when it comes to which apps and services to pay for on a continuous basis. For me, I need to particularly value what an app or service offers in exchange for that commitment. Voice Dream Reader more than meets that point. It is quite simply the best app around for reading a wide range of ebooks and documents all in the same common interface. I have well over 1,000 ebooks from various unconventional sources, such as ones I've backed on Kickstarter or bought from Storybundle. I also use the app to enjoy numerous MP3 audiobooks and dramas. Voice Dream Reader provides me the confidence to make such purchases knowing that one way or another, I'll be able to enjoy and navigate through them. Even if I end up with a totally inaccessible PDF made of page images, I can perform OCR on it easily and get back to a very readable book. This app is worth its weight in gold. While there are certainly alternative approaches, none of them are anywhere near as easy or complete. I could absolutely use the Books app made by Apple to read PDF and EPUB books. Combine that with the BookPlayer app or VLC media player for audio files, and you're starting to inch towards an alternative. You've got two interfaces to learn and two separate places where your books might be. You don't have the OCR facilities that are built into Voice Dream Reader, so there's another app to learn and acquire. Beginners are going to find this a much tougher climb. As easy as the Kindle app is to use, I'd be very happy if the Applause group adds Kindle support to Voice Dream Reader. The extra voice choices for reading my rather large Kindle collection would be nice. Having those books available using Voice Dream Reader's navigation system would make enjoying Kindle books even easier. I'll certainly miss Winston's presence. He really knew his community well and had a keen sense of what his work meant to his users. I'm willing to give these folks a chance. Having a subscription model does change my expectations. Keeping things working until the app was unsustainable was all I felt I had a right to expect from Winston. However, I expect the Applause group to do more and add to the app's capabilities. I also think they need to up their communications game and tell us what they fix and change in the app updates. If I'm paying a subscription, I shouldn't have to go out of my way to find out what's happening with the app. I think they got that message loud and clear. Time will tell. Michael.
Thank you, Michael. I think a very balanced view on that, but I'll be intrigued to hear others' views there. Greg also has comments on this.
Hello, Double Tappers. I noticed when listening to you talk about the Voice Dream controversy, you guys did get the timeline wrong. When Winston made the Mac app, he said if you wanted that, you would have to pay a subscription. However, if you did not want it, you could continue to use the iOS app without having to pay the subscription. Now, when the Applause group bought the app, they also came out and said if you had bought it in the past, you would not have to pay a subscription. The post Sean mentioned was actually made by the Applause group and not Winston. The $59.99 price is only good for people who have previously bought the app and is only good until May the 1st. After that, it will be $79.99 for everyone. One thing I have not heard anyone really talk about is that the subscription includes the Mac app. I do not want or plan to use the Mac app, so why should I have to fund it? Also, for users of Windows, why should they have to support an app they cannot even use? I hope this longer email did not stress your voice too much, Miss Kay. Keep up the good work, guys and gals. Your show is a real pleasure to listen to in today's climate. Greg from the Buckeye State. That's Ohio for all of you who are not in the United States.
Thank you, Greg, in the Buckeye State. I've never heard of that, but thank you. That I believe you. As for the post that we talked about, did we actually know it was from the Applause group? Where are we getting that from? Does the timeline give that away? I don't know. I honestly don't know, and I wonder.
It's very important, though.
It is important.
Does that change your view at all? Because I assumed it was from Winston before the acquisition here. It was 11 months, nearly 12 months ago that this was posted.
Right.
So, it's vital we know who that was actually from, because I think the poster in AppleViz, it just says Voice Dream Reader.
Well, it certainly changes the conversation a little bit. I mean, it doesn't change my view on whether or not the app should be recreated back into a subscription model or you have to pay for it. I think that's a different conversation. I think there's two conversations here, right? There's the cost of subscription, which irritates people. And then there was the promise that if they bought the lifetime version of this app, they wouldn't have to do this. So there's an expectation. Now, if that expectation was from Winston, the original developer of the app, and that wasn't something that the Applause group took on, then I would say it's fair at that point that they would come forward and say, okay, look, we can't sustain this app without a subscription model, so here's the subscription plan. I think that's fair. If, however, they did say at the beginning, actually, you know, we'll honour this, then they should have honoured it for existing customers. And new customers would pay. That would have been the fair way to do it.
I agree. I suppose you could argue, is a post on a forum an actual obligation? Could you, you know, is it okay to say, you know what, we've actually looked at this again and we can't sustain
existing users? This is why I'm slightly doubtful about this, because I know Winston Chen, the developer, I interviewed him a number of times, and I always got the impression he was someone who really listened to and engaged with the community. So it would make sense for him to post something like that. That would be in line with his way of working. He would want to communicate directly with the community. He knows that AppleViz would be a good place to do that. Would the Applause group have done that? I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But if they haven't done that, then I think it stands. I still think, though, there's an argument to say that, and Michael makes this point, that there's a graveyard of apps that have fallen away because there's no way to sustain them. And we as a community have to decide what value is. We can't have everything for nothing.
It's true.
Okay, Dennis has been in touch.
Hey, I just wanted to correct one thing. This is Dennis Long. The message on AppleVis is from the Applause group about not charging existing users. That was from the Applause group. What they should have said was there will be no charge at this time for existing users, and they would have been covered. They didn't do that here. The other problem with the way they did this is they didn't bother to get out in front of it and go post, say, on AppleVis and say, this is what we have to do. We have to now start charging for this app. It went out to a couple users, and the users are the ones who started spreading the message. So that never goes well. And I think they've lost the trust of the community, and that doesn't go well. They'd be wise to have an iPhone app and a Mac app, because right now that $60 is also paying for the Mac app. What if I don't have a Mac? I don't know if they're going to be able to get the trust back of the community. I have never seen the community this mad. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be interesting to see what happens. I know they're going to have a monthly option for those that can't afford the $60 a year. It's going to be $6 a month. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and where this goes. But I have not seen a controversy this bad in a while. They need PR work, and desperately, because they don't have room for errors here. They've promised Kindle support, and they've got to hit on everything they said on their blog post. Because if they don't, they're done. That's just my opinion, but if they miss on anything they've promised, they're done. So, and it's a great app. I own it. I'm thinking about subscribing for a few months and giving them a try. I understand they have to be paid. I'm not arguing that point. But what I am arguing is how they went about it. They didn't go about it the right way. Never, ever let the user base control your messaging. You, as a company, be front-facing, front-forward, and honest with your messaging. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Clearly, you have a few views on that. And I would say the hard line on it, that is they've made a mistake here, Sean. According to Dennis, they've made a mistake with marketing. They should have got out in front.
Yeah, and perhaps that's what it comes down to, because I think us as a community, we're very, very patient, and it's all about communication. I think all of these emails and voicemails so far have been spot on. I can't argue with any of them. Mm. I think it is, if there's better communication, hey, there's what's happening, here's what we're thinking about, then we're more accepting. And I think it is a breakdown in trust. Absolutely. It's feeling either not listened to or that we've been lied to. That's the issue here.
Yeah. Again, I think it all comes back to this message. There's a lot of assumption here. Everyone's telling me this message came from the Applause group.
Well, I'll be fair, because you picked me up on this as soon as I said it, because I was talking about the AppleVis thread on this, right? And it's been going for a year at least. So I read at the start of the forum thread, there was a post, and I'm pretty sure it just said from VoiceDream Reader. And it made the thing that, yes, existing users won't have to pay, basically. Now, I'm summarizing here, I'm paraphrasing. But I just had a cursory glance at that. Now, because it was 12 months ago, I just assumed that was from Winston before. But actually, I don't know that. And as people are telling us, it's not. It's from the Applause group, the new owners of the app. Then that does change things slightly. And further down in that thread also, it does say, you know what, after listening to people on this thread, $39 does seem more responsible or more reasonable, and that will be the price.
But so hang on. Okay, so all right, so let's just assume, okay, on that basis, let's assume that post came from the Applause group, okay? So let's say that's okay. True, and let's imagine yes. It is. And it may well be, I don't know, that's the point, that's why I say this. But can a company never change its mind? Can a company never come forward and say, do you know what, we've thought about this? And maybe that's the problem. Maybe they just needed to have a more honest conversation with their,
again,
their
consumers.
Maybe they just didn't think people would complain. They just thought, you know, hey, it's a subscription world. People will just get used to it. Because let's be honest, that's kind of the way a lot of apps and services are going. You know, if I got annoyed every time I did a subscription, I would have no time left by emailing each and every one of them saying, stop asking me to subscribe to things. I had a wallpaper app once that wanted me to subscribe for $7.99 a month. I was like, seriously? For wallpaper? Come on.
I'm not sure if this has sort of caught fire a little bit. And I do you think this is just going to blow over? People will just get over it?
I kind of do. I feel this is one of those little storms in a teacup that come along. This isn't life or death, right? It's an app for reading documents. And I understand it's important to people. I get that. It's a valuable app and clearly it's valuable. Otherwise, people wouldn't be bothered about this so much. If it was a terrible app, no one would care.
That's kind of the point, yeah.
But I go back to this point. There are alternatives out there. Businesses, I also think, are allowed to make decisions about their future. And if we love the app that much, and if everyone's so excited about the app and the need for the app, then it and the company that own it are saying, look, we need to fund this. Maybe it's just a bad message. Maybe that's ultimately the problem here. But
maybe they'll learn from it.
I think as individuals, we have to make a decision about what's right for us. Look, the market decides. If this app doesn't work, if this company make a mess of the accessibility settings, if it isn't as good or doesn't work as well in the future, the app will die. It'll die regardless of whether it's got a subscription model or not, because no one will buy it. So it is That's on the true. Company to do everything they say they're set out to do, as Dennis just said. But I think that, you know, at the end of the day, it's one app of many that are making the decision to go subscription-based, and it's to secure their future. The question is, do you want to get behind that? If you do, put your money down. If you don't, move along. I think it's as simple as that. I want to get a couple more voicemails in, or emails in, I should say. John got in touch on this.
Hi, Laura, and the other two. I paid for Voice Dream Reader a little while ago. It felt like a lot of money for what it was, given that as a sighted user, I have always used apps like Adobe Reader for free, and all I really wanted was to read a few ebooks. I don't use it often, but it does the job when I want it to. I can't say I agree with the decision to enforce a subscription for this. For starters, I believe they are violating Apple's terms for the App Store in two ways. Firstly, by taking away features we have paid for, and secondly, by giving a discount if you buy the subscription outside the App Store. But even so, morally, if I have bought something, they should not be taking it away. I get the point about devs needing money to fund an app's growth, but there are other options. In the old days of software, particularly when it came on CD, things were different. I'd buy something, like PaintShop Pro, and it would come in a nice box with a CD and a manual. At some point, a new major version of it would be released. At that point, I could decide whether the new version had enough new features in it to warrant an upgrade. I would get a discount as an existing customer if I decided to go down this route. This seems fair to everyone involved. The devs get more money, but only if they can justify it. As a customer, I keep the software but don't automatically get new features. The App Store doesn't naturally lend itself to this, but I have seen it elsewhere, for example with Lyra on the iPhone or Smultron on the Mac. It's a bit clumsy, as you need to migrate from one app to another, but it feels reasonable. There are plenty of problems with subscription models because they only really suit the devs and not the consumers. For starters, it puts the software totally out of reach for either casual users or those on low incomes. So really it's only good for those that are using it all the time. This automatically pushes the software into a niche that it might not otherwise belong to. Imagine if you had bought a hardware reader such as an Amazon Kindle, VictorStream or Sense Player. If you owned it for a year or two and then it suddenly stopped working out of the blue until you paid a subscription, I don't think they would have many customers left. My Kindle Paperwhite cost less than a year's subscription to Voice Dream. The other options for Voice Dream would be to include an optional extra subscription that gave you benefits in addition to the core app. With the advent of AI, there would be a very natural progression to this, whether it be access to some of the nice natural AI voices or other AI tools like summarization, asking questions, and so on. There are a whole host of things they could add into a new paid tier and no one would think anything of it. Or they could make new features in-app purchases so that I could pick and choose what I get. They could even just release a version 2 of the app and make it subscription only, and then just do the minimum with the other app to keep it afloat. In the case of Voice Dream Reader, I actually don't really need any new features. I just want it to keep working. Adobe Reader seemed to have updates every time I used it, and I can't honestly say I ever noticed any changes to it. I don't think it's unfair for developers to have a sustainable business, but this can't be at the expense of the customers. Anyway, I will be moving my ebooks to Speech Central, which is free for voiceover users with an optional donation. If I get on with it, I'll donate, because I don't mind paying if I feel like I am being treated well. I'd also like to compare this to Voice Vista. I love this app, but only use it occasionally. When the low-priced optional subscription came out, I was happy to pay. Also, I thought, if even Sean is paying for it, then I'd probably better. Anyway, keep up the good work. John from Northampton.
Thank you, John. And a quick final word from Michael on this topic.
I was reluctant to pay the subscription, but then decided to do so. If next year I'm not happy with the app, then I won't resubscribe. If I had to start subscribing to lots of different apps, frankly, I could not afford to do so. Whatever our revered government says, cost of living is still high. Michael.
Thank you, Michael. And that brings us to the end of the show and the end of the conversation on this. I mean, I'm sure it will continue for sure, but ultimately we're at that point where it's up to people to decide, I think. It's up to you to decide what you want to do with this app. Do you want to buy or don't you? But I think we certainly had a good spread of opinion from the community on this. So thank you for your comments. Keep them coming. More emails tomorrow. We'll, of course, be talking about that solar eclipse that is coming up next year. Next week, I should say. Not next year. Next week. Janine Stanley's joining us from IRA. She's going to be talking about their work to audio describe it to all of us blind folks. So that sounds pretty cool. We'll hear from Janine tomorrow. We'll catch up with her. And, of course, more of your comments will continue, as always, and all the breaking news as it happens here on Double Tap. Thank you for listening. Thanks for keeping in touch. Catch you, Sean.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hello, I'm Sean Preece. Join me monthly for Sean of the Shed, where I introduce you to all the technology that could be so useful to us as blind or partially sighted people. Find Sean of the Shed wherever you find all your podcasts.